The purpose of this section is to walk you through a bunch of abstractions that Service Fabric provides for you, and to also introduce terminology. Each of these abstractions offers certain features, one over the other, and it's important that you understand them so that you know how to leverage them properly when designing your service in order to get it function properly within a Service Fabric cluster. So now if we look at the slide, these are the relationship of Service Fabric abstractions that exist at runtime. These are runtime relationships. The green outer box represents an entire Service Fabric cluster. And you might create different clusters for different ways of managing them. Each cluster has its own management endpoint, if you will. And so you can use clusters for isolation. You might stand up one cluster for one tenant, and you might stand up a completely different cluster for another tenant if you would like to be able to manage them differently. Clusters are also billed differently. If you're using Azure for your Service Fabric cluster, then when your bill comes in, you will see that for this particular cluster, this is what the billing is. Again, you might use that for different tenants so that at the end of the month you receive your bill, maybe you tack on 10 or 15%, and then you pass that on to a customer that you are running this cluster on behalf of. Clusters also exist in Azure for geolocation. Within Azure today, it's not possible to set up a cluster that spans geolocations, geographies. And so you might want to stand up a cluster in America, you might stand up another cluster in Asia, you might stand up another cluster in Europe. Now, just for the record, Service Fabric does allow you to create clusters that have nodes that span different geographies. It's just difficult to set that networking up properly within Azure Data Center. But if you are using Service Fabric to stand up a cluster that's on-prem cluster, then having nodes that span different geographies is easy to do. The only problem is the network latency as the nodes have to communicate with each other across the globe. And I already mentioned standing up different clusters for the purposes of multi-tenancy. Now, within a single cluster, you can have one or more named applications. The named application is a unit of isolation within Service Fabric. So I showed an example where I created the Contoso eStore app, and I created the Fabricam eStore app. That was two different named applications running within the same cluster. And they're isolated from one another in that they can be running different versions. Contoso can be running version 1 of the eStore app, and Fabricam can be running version 2 of the eStore app. And then, of course, you can use different named applications for multi-tenancy, which is the example that I've been giving you. And I already mentioned versioning and also configuration. Within a named application, you can have one or more named services. The examples I gave here was the G service for the gallery and the P service for the payment. And each named service consists of its one or more code packages, which are the .exe and .dll files that really make up the code for that particular service. You can use named services for multi-tenancy. That is, if you had, let's say, a queue service, you could create a queue service for one scenario and another instance of the same queue service for another scenario. Both of these scenarios are in a single application, named application, if you want to. So you can have different instances of the same service running within the same application. And the queue one is really a typically good example for that. And you can use this for multi-tenancy too, where you could create a particular service within an app for one tenant and another service within the same app for another tenant. But notice you don't get isolation with this. So it's good in terms of conserving resources and being resource efficient, but it's not good in terms of isolation. Now within a named service, we have Service Fabric supports two different kinds of services. We have stateless services, which are by far the most common, and we have stateful services. With a stateless service, well, in both of them, we have this concept of a partition. With a stateless service, the partition concept is really not that useful. It provides no value. As I mentioned here on the slide, partitions provide no value for stateless services. And so you would have one partition. Now, you need to know that partitions exist, though, because you will see it in our tooling, you will see it in our documentation. So even if you're building a stateless service, which is the common case, while you don't care about partitions, you will still see it, like in Service Fabric Explorer and in our documentation. So you need to know of its existence. And then for a stateless service, you tell Service Fabric how many instances you want. So for the gallery service, I've been giving the example where I might want to have 4 instances of the gallery service running. Service Fabric will put that code on 4 different nodes within the cluster and having it all run simultaneously, and the load balancer will distribute the incoming requests against those 4 different instances. And the reason why we use instances of stateless services is to give you scale. If you have a lot more client requests coming in, for example, an e-commerce site might have a lot more traffic during the holiday season, then you might want to scale the gallery service up from 4 nodes up to 10 nodes. And then when the holiday season is over, you might want to scale that back down. We also use instances to give you availability. Hardware failure is inevitable. And at some point, some node in the cluster is going to fail. The power might go out, the network controller might go down, the top-of-rack router might fail, and when that happens, that node is not going to be able to receive traffic. But fortunately, you have other instances running on other nodes, and they can receive the traffic, and that makes your service available to your customers. Now, for stateful services, we're going to talk about that much later in this course. So I'm only going to touch on it briefly right now. Stateful services, you can partition them in order to divide your data up, your state, across multiple partitions. This is useful if you have an enormous amount of data that can't all fit on a single node. You need to partition it to put some of your data on one node and some of your data on another node. So that's where the concept of partitions comes into play. We use partitions for addressability. So I can say, well, let's say that in my data, I'm storing people in various states, like Washington State or California. Or Pennsylvania. So you would then go and have one partition for California, another one for Washington, and so on. And we use partitions to scale the data. As I already mentioned, if all your data won't fit on a single node, you have to get your to because your data is so massive in size, it's very scalable, you have to divide it up into partitions to get on other nodes. Within partitions, we have replicas, which are very similar to instances. And you would have 1 or more replicas. Replicas exist for availability. So your data gets replicated multiple times within the partition. Should a replica fail, we have other replicas that we can go back to, Service Fabric can go back to, and then it can read data from those other replicas. And then we can create new replicas from the existing replicas to give your data high availability within the cluster. You should note that Service Fabric uses the terms instances and replicas interchangeably. You'll see that in our documentation, you'll see it in our tools and utilities, and so on. And so, a lot of times you might think, well, I'm building a stateless service, but I'm seeing the word replica appear. That's because internally within Service Fabric implementation, they are truly the same thing. So just be aware of that, that when you're building stateless services, you may see the word replica. When you are building stateful services, you may see the word instance. Now, I have some notes at the bottom of the slide that are worth pointing out to you. You can dynamically start and remove named app services, named apps, named services, as well as instances and replicas. In other words, what I mean by that is that you can create a named application at will, and you can destroy a named application at will. Within that named application, you can create a named service as will, and you can destroy a named service at will. When you do create a named service, though, you must tell Service Fabric how many partitions you want it to have. And the number of partitions it has is fixed. That is, you can never increase or decrease the number of partitions once you have created a service. You can destroy the named service, and then you can create it again with a different number of partitions. But doing so for a stateful service would cause all the data to be lost. So you have to be very careful about that. Within partitions, you can increase and decrease the number of instances or replicas at will. And in fact, that's quite commonly done. So as I already mentioned, a named service's partition count is fixed over its entire lifetime. Be careful of that. And the named service's instance and replica count applies to all partitions. What I mean by that is, if you create a stateful service with 5 partitions in it, and then you say you want 3 replicas, you're actually getting 3 replicas of each partition. So you end up actually having a total of 15 partitions that have to be placed throughout the various nodes within the cluster. All right, so to help drive this home, I have an animated slide here to walk through these concepts in a bit more detail to make them concrete for you. What I show on the right-hand slide is a five-node cluster. And the five nodes are all talking to each other, and currently there's nothing deployed within the cluster. Now, let's say that you have registered with the Service Fabric Image Store an application type, and we're going to call it A for application. And just to keep things simple, this application type has registered one service type in it. We're going to call that S for service. And this has already been uploaded into the image store that resides within the cluster. I don't show that here on the nodes on the right. Now, let's go and create instances of these. So the first thing we want to do is we want to create one named application for this application type. Now, we have three ways for you to administer Service Fabric. There's a REST API that you can use on that port 19,080. We have a PowerShell commands that you can use that use TCP protocol over 19,000, port 19,000. And we also have a Fabric client, which is a .NET class that you can use from languages like C# and Visual Basic. It internally uses TCP over port 19,000 as well to communicate with the cluster. Those are our three mechanisms available for you to communicate. So we're just going to choose one of those three. It doesn't matter which one. And we're going to say to Service Fabric that we have an application type called A that you know about in the image store. It happens to be version 1.0. We would now like to go and create an instance of that within the cluster, or create a named application of it within the cluster. So you have to say to Service Fabric, here is the name I want it to be. And we have some rules on our naming conventions. The name must start with fabric:/. That part is mandatory. And then whatever you want, you can put after the slash. In my example here, I'm putting A1. Now, when you create a named application, it really isn't doing anything significant. You're really just creating a piece of metadata that lives within the cluster. You're not actually causing anything to be deployed on any of the nodes, and nothing is running. So it's a very resource-friendly thing. It's very lightweight. You're just creating this concept or scope, if you will, for this named application. Once you've done that, I now want to say to Service Fabric, I'd like to create an instance of the service type within that named application. So to do that, you give the name of the application that you want to create a service within. So here I'm saying fabric:/A1. Then you say to Service Fabric, this is the name of the service type. Here I'm using S. Then I have to tell it what I want the name of the service to be when it is running. Now we have some rules on this naming. It has to start with fabric:/A1 now, right? So it has to be prefixed with the named application. Then you say slash and whatever you want for the suffix. In this case, I'm using S1 just to mean instance one of the service type S. Also, when you create a named service, you must specify the number of partitions, and you must specify the number of instances or replicas. In this example here, I'm saying I want one partition, and then I'm saying I want three instances of it. So when I execute this command here to Service Fabric, it's going to choose three. It knows it needs to run three instances, right? One partition times three instances. One times three is three. So it's going to choose three nodes within the cluster. It gets to choose. We don't have any control over that. By the way, that's not completely true. You can have some control using things like placement properties, which I will be talking about much later in this presentation. But if you don't set that up, then you have no control over it. Service Fabric is going to pick. So in my example here, it's choosing nodes 1, 2, and 3, and it is deploying the A1 S1 service, partition 1, instance 1 to node 1, and for the same service, partition 1, instance 2 to node 2, and for the same service, partition 1, instance 3 to node 3. You'll notice that Service Fabric always puts different instances of the same partition on different nodes, okay? So these are all the same partition, partition one, and it will never put instance one and instance two on the same exact node. That is by design. And the reason for that is because a single node is a single point of failure. If that node went down for some reason, then you would lose all the instances on that node. So Service Fabric by design spreads the instances across the various nodes of the cluster in order to give you high availability. Now, if we go back to the slide at the bottom, now I want to go and create another name service, but within the same named application. So again, I specify fabric:\A1 for the application that I wish to create the service within. Again, I'm creating service type S, so it'll be another named service for the same service type. I have to give the service a name, and the prefix has to match the same as the named application, hence the fabric:\A1, but then the suffix of /S2 can be whatever you want. In my case, I'm using S2 because this is the second instance of the S service. In this example, I'm going to create it with two partitions and with two replicas or instances. So now that means since there's two partitions with two instances, that means four things have to happen in total. 2 × 2 = 4. So Service Fabric is first going to place an instance here, partition 1, instance 1 on node 3, and then it went and put partition 1, instance 2 on node 4. Again, these are of the same partition, and so Service Fabric guarantees that different instances or different replicas are going to be on different nodes. That's guaranteed. Then it's going to put partition 2, instance 1 on node 4, and it's going to put partition 2, instance 2 on node 5. You'll notice that partition 1, instance 2 and partition 2, instance 1 are on the same node. This is okay, because if node 4 went down, we would lose those two instances, but we still have an instance of partition 1 and an instance of partition 2 running in the cluster, right? So node 4 is a single point of failure, but for two instances of different partitions, right? We'll never have two instances of the same partition on any single node. Now, by default, if you're using what we call guest executable, Service Fabric's guest executable model, which I'll be talking about more very shortly, then Service Fabric deploys each of these instances or replicas in different processes running on the different nodes. So on node 3, that instance 3 and instance 1, those are different processes. And on node 4, instance 2 and instance 1, those are different processes as well. But if you use Service Fabric's programming models, which I'll be talking about much later in the course, then and that's our .NET programming models, then these will become .NET objects instead of processes. So on node 3, you would have a single process, and you would have a .NET object for instance 3 and another .NET object for instance 1. And the benefit you get here is that it's the same code running in a single process, which is what allows us to do this, and the different .NET objects gives you higher density. Instead of having multiple processes running on a single machine, you now have multiple .NET objects, which are much lighter weight in conserving memory and resources, and so you can pack a lot more instances and replicas on the existing hardware resources that you have that make up the cluster. All right, so I hope you got a good sense of the various abstractions that Service Fabric provides and the different values that each one of those gives you. And this will give you a sense of how to take your microservices architectures and apply the Service Fabric concepts to it so that you can deploy it successfully and have it run properly within your cluster.